This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Just about anyone involved in the sales or management side of digital signage these days knows that workplace communications has pretty quickly grown into one of the most active and interesting verticals. With QSRs, the other hot vertical, you're doing menus and digital promo posters. In the workplace, all kinds of interesting things are possible and can make a difference. In this podcast, I spent some time with Mike Killian of the DC-based CMS and solutions company MVIX. I've done a podcast in the past with Mike, but based on chatting with him at Infocom, we decided to do a new one, talking about the opportunities and challenges of digital signage and everything from offices to factory floors. It would seem like the rise of big data and IoT sensors would open up a lot of possibilities to visualize data and automate content. But in this conversation, you learn it's not that easy to do when IT people are worried about security and the machines and sensors that could spit out useful data have few standards or common formats. If you're a business communicator, this is a useful listen. Mike, thank you. We've done this before, but we had a chat at Infocom going back about a month ago and talked about a number of things, particularly about kind of the state of where things are with employee communications. And we kind of reached an agreement that it would be interesting to have a chat about what you've seen out there and what you're seeing out there and what works, because your company does quite a bit of this kind of work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for taking a few minutes, Dave, to connect. Enjoyed our chats there at Infocom. I think it was pretty much a blockbuster year all around for the show itself and most of the exhibitors. So still getting back in the game after that. I've been in digital signage for about 7 years, Dave. And before this, I was in the audio video integration space. Anyone who's been following the digital signage industry for the last 36 months, 48 months, I think you notice that employee communication as a use case has been one of, if not the largest, up and to the right trends in terms of, you know, adoption rate of a specific type of solution or use case.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to see employee communication. I should say we have been seeing for about 2 years now employee communication break the traditional paradigm of being office based only. Originally, you rewind, 3 years, 4 years, and employee communication really started in a formalized workplace setting. This would be a corporate environment or maybe a production facility, that type of thing. But we're starting to see that use case translated now to a lot of different industries, including convenience stores and restaurant environments, which to me is kind of full circle, because I always viewed digital signage historically as having really kind of sprung its roots in retail, sprung its roots in food service, and the fact that employee communication, which I view as a bit of a more advanced use case, at least in terms of the type of content and the ROI and ROO objectives, the fact that it's coming full circle now and kind of weaving its way into retail and into the food service space is quite fascinating from my perspective.
I've certainly heard of food services and the ability to instruct workers who need to understand how to work different types of machines and need to be reminded about hand washing and things like that. But I don't think I've really heard about corporate comms in convenience stores. What happens there?
So what you have a lot of times in convenience stores, Dave, is from our experience, the model there, the day-to-day operational model, I should say, behind the scenes is really not that much different from food service. Oftentimes you have shifts of hourly employees who are coming in to, stock things, to actually make food items or prepare food items or, serve them in some sense or capacity, kind of keep everything operationally running on the food side of things. And so, you have a very similar model operationally to the restaurant space, where you have this workforce that, a lot of times is kind of fast paced in how they're doing their daily tasks. A lot of times it may be a stepping stone for them job wise or career wise to something else. And so trying to get in front of, or I should say, keep people's attention in that environment when they're working quickly. They're maybe working more than one job. You have a lot of work if you're an employer in terms of keeping everyone on the same page about, you know, food safety tips and how to treat customers and, you know, keeping things stocked appropriately and keeping pricing updated and all that. One of the beauties, I think, of this whole employee communication use case when it comes to retail and food service is that typically you see it behind the scenes physically. I'm talking about back of the house, if you will, where it's in a break room or some other employee room. And that's usually your best chance to get in front of folks, because that's your real captive audience. They're throughout the day, they're moving around in the store or the convenience location or the restaurant. But when they take their half hour break or their 15 minute break every so often, usually they're going to go to the break room, and usually then you have your captive audience. So while you have that downtime, it's a great way to kind of maximize getting that messaging in front of them, because out in the store or on the floor there, they're just moving too quickly and have too much on their mind, I think, to really land an impactful message. So I think that's why you're starting to see it translate, is you have some of the components of what we would see in other digital signage use cases. You have a captive audience when they're in the break room. You have an impressionable audience because they're, kind of disconnecting from the day-to-day hustle, if you will, while they're in the break room. So I think it's a pretty solid environment to land some of that messaging and keep everyone on the same page.
How do you get the operators, so to speak, the owners of these stores or these restaurants, which I don't really know how convenience stores work in terms of ownership, but certainly on the QSR side, a lot of it is franchise-based and owner-operator-based, where they don't want to spend money on this sort of thing, I would imagine. So how do you get them over the line?
Yeah, that's definitely a tricky question, Dave. And honestly, in my 7 years here, I've run across probably dozens of different distribution models in terms of corporate ownership percentage versus franchise ownership percentage, and who's responsible for what versus, what's mandated, who shares cost, et cetera. I would say it's typically a case by case basis. For the larger organizations, you could probably have an approximation of a scalable, sales process or model in terms of how to drive adoption there. But generally, each organization is very much case by case. So I think one of the biggest things is to get everyone on the same page about why it's important. My experience in working with franchise-based organizations is that a lot of times these communications initiatives are kind of driven, I don't want to say forced, but kind of driven from the corporate level, driven from the top down. And oftentimes, if you look at the actual franchise contracts themselves, that's a part of it, is, hey, you're going to adopt as a franchisee any and every, corporate mandate that we pass along, whether that's communications-based, marketing-based, certain types of technology even, et cetera. So I think it starts with, hey, this is not just another corporate initiative that we're pushing on you. This is going to add some significant value at the local store level in terms of productivity, in terms of cost saving, in terms of driving sales and things like that. So I think if you have that adoption on the franchisee side, which requires a discussion, not just an email or a newsletter or something like that, I think you're much more likely for success in terms of adoption at the franchisee level.
Mm-hmm. When you get into big scale kinds of businesses like retail and like QSR and things like that, I would imagine there are two big challenges that you're facing. One would be the churn rate of employees. There's always somebody new working there. Then the longevity of an employee might not be all that long. And the other one would be language. I would imagine in a lot of cases, these kind of minimum wage, entry level kinds of jobs tend to either be, well, in some cases they're teenagers, but in many cases it's people who have English as a second language.
Oh, 100%. But that's one of the beauties of digital signage, and one of the solutions that it offers as an industry, is the fact that, in traditional break room environment, you may have a bulletin board where you have the physical space for, let's call it 10 flyers, let's say, or 10 announcements, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have one announcement that you need to get out in three or four languages, you've already used 30, 40% of your physical space to do that. But with digital signage, of course, we're able as an industry to offer a way to get one message out in as many languages as you want, as many times as you want throughout the day, and still provide room for other messaging. So if anything, I think it's a kind of unifying factor, if you will. You have one central point of communication in a physical facility, and that point of communication kind of bridges the gap to your point, you know, multiple workers, multiple cultures, multiple languages. And I think as digital signage providers, I think that's something that we can push a little bit more to our client base is, hey, yes, this is communication, but it actually goes a step beyond that. It takes a workforce that, you know, maybe not so homogenous, and we get us all on the same page about brand standards and where we need to head. So that's pretty exciting from that side of things.
What about in the blue collar areas of production facilities, manufacturing, logistics, that sort of thing? I get a sense that more and more use is being made of digital signage because of the easier availability of data.
So yes and no. The use cases, I should say the scalability for employee communication based digital signage in production environments, I think is going up and to the right for sure. But I do think that in some facilities, I think that data gathering is still a challenge. Now, data processing and data rendering, I think, is really a strength of the industry right now. And if you asked me that question about 4 years ago, I would say that's our biggest room for improvement, both in terms of digital signage and just in IT in general, is how do we process data? How do we visualize it in a way that makes sense to employees, some of which may have not seen this data before, this metric, and know how to interpret it? I still see, though, across a lot of our manufacturing clients, a lot of our production clients, even some niche use cases, like we have mining companies we work with, for instance, I still see that the propensity or the ability to collect actual valuable data, whether it's batches of production that are going out or safety issues or equipment, usage rates, things like that, I still think that's a challenge because there's not a whole lot of standardized data collection mechanisms in the production world. Usually how you gather data on your production line or your mining operation or your manufacturing facility, that's going to vary based on the type of equipment that you're using. It's going to vary based on the type of product that you're producing or that you're servicing or tailoring. It's not like the white collar environment where you have a set of standardized CRM tools that a CMS integrator like MVIX can integrate with, or a set of standard event scheduling tools where, MVIX could integrate with. What you have is, in the production world, what you have is so many different types of physical sensors, as well as companies that make these data collecting, devices. And so I think it's a challenge. That's one of the biggest questions we get from prospective clients who are in the manufacturing space and want to implement a digital signage solution on the plant floor is, I may have, custom machinery that's been built for me for my production environment, but that doesn't equate to an IT-based way to gather data other than someone, literally sitting there and punching, how many batches are going out. So that's something that I think we can work as the digital signage side of things. I think we can work a little bit better with production-based, IT and software companies to come up with an industry standard on how we're going to collate and collect this type of production level data. Because once we get that in our hands, at least on the CMS side of things, where nowadays it's very, very easy to get a visualization and a rendering that makes sense. So I think the future for us is more about how do we gather that data in a way that's easy to do so for the clients.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought it was the other way around, that guys like you are going to these companies saying, hey, we could visualize what's going on your production floor. Just expose the data to us. But it sounds like what you're saying is they get that. They want to do that, but it's just hard.
Yeah, I mean, the actual raw scraping or gathering of that data is still not there from an automated perspective. And in every production environment, you can track, what's going out the door, number of safety issues, things like that. But a lot of times that's a manual process where somebody's manually gathering that data, or perhaps there's a camera or a sensor of some type that's monitoring the actual production line and monitoring all that data. But a lot of times, still in 2019, we're not seeing that translate to an automation workflow. We're not seeing that data being collected into a spreadsheet or a database that can be tied into a SQL database or exported via XML or CSV or something like that. So the gap still is between where that data and how that data is being collected, and then the visualization mechanisms that companies like MVIX have set up. So I'm really excited to see where that heads, and I think we can add a lot of value as an industry to the manufacturing environment with that workflow.
So the great prospects and all the buzz around IoT still requires some work to make it really useful for this sort of thing.
So IoT is a very interesting discussion from my perspective, Dave. I'm kind of glad you bring that up. And I think as an industry, as at least on the CMS side of things, I think we should probably have a kind of industry-wide discussion about, does digital signage actually fit into the IoT category? And the reason that I bring that up is there's a lot of synergy, obviously, between what digital signage endpoints achieve for a customer and what IoT endpoints that are not digital signage related achieve for a customer. There's no question there. The challenge is that in a lot of enterprise organizations, quote, IoT devices are viewed in a very specific light when it comes to IT security and when it comes to monetization. And traditionally, the paradigm with digital signage, at least is how it relates to IT security, is that we're basically showing public-facing data, especially in retail, especially in food service, even in some production facilities. I mean, a lot of these employees don't have, NDAs in place with the company. They don't have, anything that would permit them from really sharing some of this data. So, in reality, a lot of the content that's being shown on digital signage displays, at least in North America, is going to be public-facing anyway. When you classify in enterprise world, when you classify a device as IoT, there's a whole certain set now of IT security standards that come into question. And a lot of times I've seen in projects where digital signage solutions don't get approved. They'll look at four or five industry leading vendors and none of them pass the benchmark test because they're benchmarking on the IoT standards for information security. But when we look at digital signage based standards for endpoints for IT security, a lot of times those are much more lax because again, the content that's going out to that is nothing proprietary, nothing that you need to hide. In fact, quite the opposite. It's something that you want in the public lens. So kind of took a deviation there from the whole employee communication discussion, but I think as an industry, we can have a better stance, or at least have a unified stance in terms of, do we think for employee communication-based environments, for production-based environments, is a digital signage endpoint, is a media player, actually an IoT solution, or should we not classify it as such for those environments?
You would think classifying as an IoT solution is a bit of an overreach and unnecessary. We really just, we being the industry, just want the data exposed so that we can do something with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
So how do we get past that? I mean, you're talking about standards, but that's a tough one.
Well, I think this actually stems from a kind of traditional workflow in working with clients and prospective clients in digital signage. I think in the big wide world of quote IT and the big wide world of audio video, I think that in some cases, digital signage is a very unique consulting process when you're working with an end customer because you have two independent yet equally as important decision makers in the process. So if I'm working with even a mid-sized company, much less an enterprise company, I have to get buy-in from the marketing and communications team. Usually that's a director or a VP or a C-level on the marketing side. I also have to get buy-in from a decision maker on the IT side of things. Again, an IT director, CIO, that type of thing. Both of those votes on whether or not this solution, quote, passes the test, both of those votes are equally important, but those are coming from two totally separate sides of the house. And a lot of times the IT folks, to their own credit, they do a good job of scrutinizing what's allowed on the network, what is in line with company standards and practices. But I don't think sometimes that they look at the bigger picture of what's the use case here and what's the actual content that's going out. Because holding a solution to a company standard or a best practice standard in regards to IT security is one thing if it's a cloud-hosted solution where there's proprietary data on there, there's HR data, there's customer data, there's payment data. That's one totally separate environment from, okay, here's a cloud-hosted solution that's interacting with our network, but all of the data that's passing through this pipeline is going to be public-facing. And I think, at least on the CMS side, I think as CMS vendors, I think we can do a better job of educating the IT part of the discussion and saying, look, we totally get that, IT security is important and you need to vet us. Let's open the books for you on how our system operates. But let's keep in mind the fact that we're not dealing with customer data here. We're not dealing with payment data. We're not dealing with employee data and HR data. This is stuff that you want your customers to see. You want this out in the market by design. And so I think that discussion, that educational discussion is something that needs to happen more. It needs to happen on a deeper level when we're kind of in that consulting or that system design stage with a lot of these customers, if that makes sense.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You're talking about public-facing data. A lot of, you know, digital signage for corporate communications, internal communications is, in theory, stuff that the public doesn't see. Does that make a difference?
Yes and no. I think that, you know, a lot of times if you're a customer and you're using a well-designed content management software, there's actually ways to keep your data off the cloud, which in my opinion renders the whole IT security and cloud discussion irrelevant anyway, because if I'm showing production data, let's say, whether that's coming from a SQL database or it's coming from a CSV file or an XML string or whatever the format is, there's no reason necessarily, at least with a well-designed CMS, that your content actually has to leave your LAN or leave your network. So I think a lot of times when customers hear or resellers hear the cloud, quote unquote, even in 2019, I think it still makes them a little bit nervous. But I think having the discussion about, yes, our software is in the cloud, but that's only the mechanism that your users are going to interact with it. Your data doesn't have to touch it at all. We've seen that take a discussion from A to B very, very quickly and successfully. Of course, that requires well-designed CMS, but if you're having that discussion, I think that you can put a lot of people's minds at ease and kind of avoid that whole, you know, IoT route to begin with.
Right. You talked about circumstances 4 years ago and where things are at now. Some of what's changed is just the simple fact that technology matures. But what's really different now?
So in my opinion, the biggest driver, I should say, the way that corporate communications folks looked at implementing digital signage for employee-based communication a few years back was based on the traditional digital signage model of ROI, or return on investment. So if we step for just a second, Dave, outside of employee-based communication, if we look at other use cases for digital signage, like retail, like food service, like hospitality, you see a lot of numbers-based, a lot of quantitative-based ROI, return on investment. And I think originally, a couple of years back, stakeholders in the corporate world said, okay, great, I'm going to increase employee productivity, or I'm going to, you know, increase customer satisfaction scores through training employees or whatever the case was, and I can positively tie and correlate a number to that with a digital signage implementation. I think that in 2019, that most corporate stakeholders are realizing that digital signage for employee-based communication is much more of a return on objective, which is not so much a quantifiable return. It's definitely there. It adds a lot of value, but it's much more about behaviors that lead to good outcomes for employees, but those behaviors and those outcomes may or may not be quantifiable. In some cases, they are. You can look at, we work with our mining customers, for instance, you can look at the safety incident numbers before the digital signage implementation versus after, and you can see a positive correlation to decrease, right? But when we look at a much more qualitative thing, how do I increase employee engagement? That's a big question we get from prospective customers in this arena. How do I increase employee engagement? Well, tell me how you're going to define employee engagement. Are you looking at the number of sick days that people take? Are you looking at how early versus late folks come into work? Are you looking at a productivity level? That's an actual metric. So defining the success or the outcome of a digital signage deployment for employee-based communication, I think in 2019, everyone's on the same page that yes, you're going to get a lot of value out of it. Yes, it's going to add some positive nuances to company culture. It's going to potentially increase the bottom line, you know, slightly. But I think we're all on the same page, customers and vendors alike, that really what we're trying to do here is drive certain behaviors, drive engagement in the corporate culture, like we talked about earlier. And sometimes those lead to numbers and quantifiable ROI, but a lot of times it's kind of a multi-headed, multifaceted approach along with other communication tools that overall make a positive impact on corporate culture. And to some degree, in my opinion, it's starting to become what I refer to in the hospitality market as you know, basically not scope creep, but basically amenity creep, where you have, you know, the hotel next door got HBO, so now you need HBO. The hotel next door got a jacuzzi, so now you need a jacuzzi. And I think you're starting to see that with digital signage in the corporate environment, where as corporate communications managers move around between companies and employees move around between companies, you're starting to see a calling for, hey, my last company had digital signage and that helped me know where our team was at today better, or helped me know about our safety practices better, that type of thing. So I think there's a more of an internal calling and more of a benchmark, if you will, an amenity creep for that, which obviously leads to a lot of discussions.
Do business communicators understand that this is not something that can just be automated? You can't just subscribe to some feeds or include your social media stream and off you go, that you need to have, in many cases, what amounts to an editor who's going to sit on top of this thing?
You know, I would love to be able to confidently say that in 2019, Dave, that was the case. I still don't see it, at least as a majority of deployments. We work with a lot of customers where they come to the table with a defined content strategy, definition for what constitutes ROI and ROO, and a clear, specific plan on what stakeholders are responsible for achieving that and how they're going to do it. But that model I just described to you, that type of customer, unfortunately, I don't see it as the majority still in 2019. I wish it was that way. So I think for customers, you bring up a great point here. I think for customers that are considering digital signage for the employee communication space, I think that beyond a content strategy, which, by the way, is a long-term discussion, it's not just the first 3 months or 6 months, mm-hmm. to your point, but besides the whole content strategy discussion, I think you have to have a clear definition and understanding of who is going to be responsible for that, how they're going to be evaluated based on that performance, whether that's one person for a company or whether it's, you know, a general manager at every location for the company. And then more importantly is getting buy-in. And this kind of circles back to how we started today's discussion, which is, if I have a series of managers internally in a company that are responsible for using digital signage for employee communication, do they believe that it's going to add value, or do they believe that the chief marketing officer is simply assigning this as another to-do or another, you know, dice roll that may or may not work? So I think if you have the plan, if you create buy-in, and then if you follow up on it with the folks that are responsible, the stakeholders, I think you're in much better shape as a customer. And I think as CMS vendors, we should do that. We should have that discussion, especially pre-sales, more frequently. At MVIX, that's actually one of the first things we talk about before we get into a specific solution or recommendation or anything. Our consultants here look at customers and say, okay, do you have a vision for ROI or ROO? Do you have a plan to achieve it? And who is going to actually be the boots on the ground to achieve that? And are they bought into it? Are they on these pre-sales calls? Are they on the demos? Have they reviewed the software and you know, getting on board with how this is all going to look? And we can help with that process. It's not that customers have to have all those answers. I mean, that's part of our job, is to help them work through that. But if you're, as a customer, if you're considering digital signage, and to your point, thinking that I can click a button, or I can do a 1 hour training, or I can, sign up for a newsletter here, doesn't matter if you're spending, you know, $1,000 or $1 million on this technology, you're not going to have success unless everything is mapped out.
One of the promises that a lot of CMS companies put out there is that you can widgetize a lot of this stuff. You can use dynamic data. You can visualize stuff. Is that realistic? I know it can work to a point, but as you were saying earlier, the visualizations are only going to be as good as the data coming in. And if it's not live and you're relying on somebody to update a spreadsheet cell, then maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it better, Dave. You hit the nail on the head. I think that data integrity is the name of the game when it comes to employee communication. You can have a newsletter up on the screen all day in front of a company or a workforce. If that newsletter is 2 months old, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get anything out of it. You can have data updating from a SQL database every 5 seconds on a production floor. If the data that's going into that SQL database is inaccurate or out of date or not correct, doesn't matter. You haven't achieved anything. So to your point, I think that, you know, you can have all the widgets in the world, you can have all the content apps in the world, but unless the data source for those integrations, for those API calls, for those visualizations is correct, accurate, and timely, you might as well not even deploy the digital signage system if that's not the case. And that goes back to the whole buy-in discussion that I mentioned, which is, I think implementation of a digital signage solution, at least at an enterprise level or a mid-size level, I think it requires more buy-in company-wise than just the actual users. I think that if you're a corporate culture that maybe is a little bit more lax when it comes to data integrity, then you should probably have discussions with the folks managing that data long before you get into displaying the outputs of that data or visualizing that data on a digital signage platform. So I couldn't agree with you more on that front.
I've heard some really interesting applications of signage for business communications, internal communications. Is there a project that you've seen, whether it's your own client, I'm sure that's where you'll go, but or elsewhere that, or otherwise, that you thought, okay, these guys really nailed it?
Yes. So we have, I'll give you a specific example. We have a very large pharmaceutical company that we work with based in the US here, but international organization. And one of the challenges they faced was across all of their international offices and their thousands and thousands of employees who all have very, very different roles. The day-to-day of someone in the Ireland office versus the US office versus somewhere else versus the manufacturing part of the operation is going to be very different. So they have thousands of employees and they had one corporate communications manager. So how do we take one person who has their plate full already? They have easily enough work already to fill a 45, 55 hour week. How do we now add a new technology like digital signage that has specific ROO goals associated with it across different locations, across different cultures even and languages to your point earlier? And how do we unify that for an actual output? And I think the biggest, this client actually has been with us for 4 or 5 years now, but I think the biggest success factor for them was they came to the table when they did their digital signage vendor research. They came to the table with 75, 80% of their answers already in place. And of course, at MVIX, we're always happy to help fill in those gaps. That's kind of our job as consultants. But, this particular client, they had their ducks in a row before they even reached out to us. They knew what they wanted to achieve. They had even, already had some of their content made, even though they didn't have a digital signage system picked to support their content objectives. They had a short-term and a long-term plan for content maintenance and strategy, which is, long-term is equally as important as the initial adoption. They had identified specific stakeholders, and they included all those stakeholders in every meeting they had with every vendor, including with MVIX. And so I think that
must have been freaky.
Yeah. And this was a couple years back. So this was not the environment. This is not the industry that we know today in this sense, right? So, yeah. And obviously, that's not realistic for everybody. We understand that there's a lot of clients who have a full workload already. And so, you're leaning on a vendor at that point to help with that process, which is totally okay. But if you're asking, what have I seen that has led to, hyper success of a digital signage deployment, having those Q&A in place and approaching every vendor with the stakeholders in mind and engaged in the process is hands down the biggest thing I could recommend to anyone that's considering implementing digital signage for employee communication.
And what are they doing that really sort of captures your imagination?
Well, just from a high level process perspective, and I can't talk too much about their content since a lot of it is proprietary, but just from a high level perspective, a process perspective, fresh content is the name of the game with them. And that's a close second in terms of my recommendations for success to what I just mentioned a minute ago. So, they make a point to where every day at every location, there is new content. And that's rare in and of itself. I don't see a lot of enterprise clients who are, every day across their 60, global offices are changing content. So it's pretty unique to this customer, but that is an ongoing measure for success. And all the time we'll reach out and talk about, hey, how are you seeing feedback from your employees in regards to this initiative? What have you seen as a positive outcome of this? And it's generally speaking, it's very positive. And I think a large driver for the positive buy-in to the digital signage solution, as well as the positive outcomes of the digital signage content, is the fact that they go make an active effort to keep these screens fresh and keep the content relevant. That could be as simple as happy birthday announcements. It could be a employee of the week, employee of the month type thing. But you capture employees' attention. You get better engagement out of your employees when you're going out of your way to speak to them, as an individual office, an individual team, or even on the employee by employee basis frequently, if not daily. I think that's the best way to get buy-in from these types of systems. And when we see that happen, I think you see a positive correlation there with other success factors.
That flew by. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, same here, Dave. I appreciate it and looking forward to connecting next.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.